My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Sometimes the sun shines on a dog's ass. that's been said before from time to time, I suppose. This is episode number 51, and this being, the eve of the final episode of the first year from Radioland. And I wanted to take time here to talk a little bit about the past year and the things that have happened. And plus the very act of podcasting. You're going to hear it toward the end of this episode, a tease of what is coming up next week. And that is the appropriate way to end the first year, the 52nd episode. Because we're going to do something very new and different and hopefully be able to carry this into year number two. Here's the deal. I get asked every once in a while by folks, how is it that you do what you do? What is it that you're doing? How does that work? I hear from podcasters from time to time who say, hey, how do I do this? What do I need to do? What do I have to have? And I tell them that everybody's different. Everybody does they do their podcasts so much differently. And I've listened to a bunch of shows. There are things that I like. There are things that I don't like. It's like anybody else, there's so many of these shows out there and everybody has, a plethora of things that they can choose from to pick how they want to do their show. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. That's actually kind of a groovy thing, really, because you want to be able to have choices and everybody's different. And that's what makes the world go round. If everybody was eating vanilla ice cream, it would be boring after a while. And so I do mine differently than most people. And I have, of course, the musical open of which you just heard. There's the tease and the promo and then the little thing at the end, the little kicker, if you will, and then the music out and boom, that's it. For year number two, it's going to be a little different. The music will be the same. The format will be the same. It's just that we're going to be adding stuff, and I'll get to that a little bit later. Actually, you'll hear more of that in the upcoming tease. I'm really excited about it, really, quite frankly, and I'll explain here in just a little while. But for those that are interested in how From Radioland is produced, I thought maybe this would be a good time to get a peek into how this whole thing kind of grew and where it came from. It started really as a way for me to keep my Blogspot page viable. Blogging was, it's just so 90s. or the aughts, if you will, right at the turn of the century. Here's the thing. I'm not a writer. I never really pretended to be. I'm better speaking. I work without a script. I work without notes for the most part. And I like to just kind of let things happen. There's no real rhyme or reason as to what may pop out of my mouth at any time. And here it is, a prime example. I'm recording this on a Saturday night. I'm down here in Studio C in the Emmons building doing my thing. And I up until literally like 10 minutes ago, I didn't have a clue as to what I was going to do. And I went upstairs to get some water, and I came down the stairs, and it just popped into my head that I should probably tell you a little bit about the technical background, a little bit of the history of this podcast. It's come to that over the year. We've put this out every week for a year, 52 weeks of this show, and you look back on it and you think, by God, how was I able to do that with all the things that, because, life gets in the way of a lot of things. And yes, scheduling can be a big pain in the ass. And fortunately, since this is only a weekly show, it does lend itself to a lot of flexibility. I usually will wait sometimes till the last minute to get it recorded and get it done, but it does happen that way. And sometimes during the week, it's, you plan, say, it's a Wednesday. I think I'm going to sit down and get this thing cranked out and be done with it. No, life gets in the way. And as a prime example, the episode for next week, you're going to get sick of me talking about this, but I had to schedule it. It was actually scheduled for me. And by virtue of that, it makes things so much better all the way around. To make it work, there's of course a million ways to record a podcast. And a lot of people will say, all you need is a decent computer and a way to record your audio. You know, plug in a mic and off you go. There's a lot to be said for that. It's quite simple. The bare bones of this show is produced just like that. Granted, I'm doing things a little bit differently. A lot of guys will plug in, ladies as well, pardon me. They'll take a USB mic and plug it into their computer and open up Audacity is a good free audio software. Sometimes I use that. Sometimes I use Cool Edit Pro, which is now Adobe Audition. I've been playing around with this other bit of software called Ardour. It's a little different. I've got a Linux machine in Studio A. I've got a Windows 7 machine down here in Studio C, and I'm using a Linux laptop to capture all of it right this second. It is because I'm running a test. But I digress. There's no sense in going crazy here. Take you a good laptop. You know, Apple makes a nice one. And then, of course, I've been using an Acer laptop, netbook, if you will, and a Dell desktop for some of my post-production work. And I just come in, sit down, turn the mic on, and go. And away you go. And whatever your content is, that's your show. And over the course of this year, I've learned a great deal, many things. I'd never done a podcast before, so it just seemed like a natural fit for a guy who's in the radio business to sit down, turn a mic on, and start running his mouth about something. And in that process, you find that a lot of things come out. They come out of your face. You know, it's for guys like me, it's very cathartic. It's not that I don't have friends. I have a couple. I have a very loving wife at home who listens to me sometimes. She doesn't always agree with me, but she listens. She does listen to this podcast. She does enjoy it. I've gotten her turned onto the whole podcast scene. And right now, this is the only show she listens to, but I think she's starting to broaden her horizons. And I'm thinking that she's probably listening to some other shows and not really paying much of attention. But all I'm doing, because this on the surface, this can seem just sort of blank, nothing, ethereal. There's just this thing. It's Rick running his mouth for about, you know, 30 minutes. And that's something else that I've learned, is that when I'm by myself, it's far better to have like about a half an hour. That's usually where I try and run it. Sometimes it's a little short. Sometimes it's a little long, depending on what we get into. And it's all kind of relative as to what it is that you're trying to lay out there. And when I have a guest, I like to go for about an hour. It just seems to flow better that way. Anything over that, it becomes a bit monotonous. There are shows out there I know that are like an hour and a half, 2 hours. I think some are like 2.5 hours long. And it's like, whoa, you know. And they put them out at like, you know, 2 and 3 shows a week. And it's intense. And if, you know, if they're doing it, that's great. I mean, guys like Mark Maron are so good at what he does. He's a great interviewer and he's a very funny guy. Very, very popular podcast. He's probably like the number one show on the web these days. And he's making it just, buckets of money over the thing. And great. I'm glad he figured it out. But he puts it out, twice a week, I think. He has a Tuesday and a Thursday edition of his show. And, you know, for guys like me who really don't consume that many shows, it's kind of hard to, you know, commit to that sort of thing, because I do want to listen more and more. And what we've seen with, of course, the podcast world too is that it's really taken this weird life of its own now, thanks to what NPR did with Serial. And man, what a groovy show that was. And they'll have a great time following that up too, I'm sure. And I'm thinking that the kids over there will figure it out. So that's a good thing. But anyway, back to Radioland, how we produce it here. As I mentioned, if I'm by myself, I'll lay down about a half an hour. I don't ever edit anything out of it. Don't ever add anything to it, except under very extreme circumstances where I've had to, like the Diana series that I did, episodes 47 and 48, that was all done in one sitting. And she and I ran our mouths for, oh God, it was like damn near 2 hours. It was like an hour and 47 minutes or something. So it just felt better to just, let's break this up into two. I don't want to tax the listener any and keep it simple. And that worked out very well. The episode 49, God and Guns, that show kind of took a life of its own. That episode really was quite remarkable. It got picked up by a few directories that I wasn't anticipating have happened, but it did, and I'm very grateful for it. And a lot of compliments came my way. on the subject matter of the show, and I think it's attracted more listeners, and thank you for doing so. Thank you for subscribing, because that's just it. You know, you if you're going to sit down and record one of these things, you gotta have an audience. It always helps to have some type of an audience to get to, because that's sort of the point, unless you're just talking in the dark, which I kind of am. It works out. It's not live. I participate in live radio on a daily basis at Radio Memphis with the morning show from 9 a.m. to 1, 2 p.m. It depends. Monday through Friday at radio-memphis.com. It's a different deal. You're subject to the clock a lot more, you know, under those constraints a little more differently. And the subject matter you get into is shorter. It's, you know, a little more to the point. It's current events. It's the music that we're playing. It's that kind of thing. So, yeah, getting into long-form programming like this, which is, in essence, uninterrupted, it is what worked for me. As for the format of the program of From Radioland, I learned early on, because I know myself too well, that really the best thing that I could possibly do and the best thing that I could hope for was to force myself into this on a regular basis. When I first started the blog, which was actually called Off the Air, that was when I was working in terrestrial radio. And podcasting, I know, was starting to become, you know, it was starting to become a reality. There were a lot of shows that were starting to get their feet going, they were really popular on the West Coast, on the East Coast, but down here in the middle of the country, no, you know, God tells Memphis last, and we are still learning about new listeners here in the Memphis and Mid-South area. So yeah, it does take some time, and these shows, when you put them out there, they're there forever. And I when I would write the blog, and I would, you know, I'd find something that had to do with the radio business. Advertising, television stuff, broadcast business in general, and I was, I don't know, once every 2-3 weeks tops, I was writing stuff, and it was that whole nagging thing that was like, man, I need to sit down and do this. I need to sit down and write something. I'm late. People are not going to be tuning in or checking the page out if they're not if they don't have any consistent material. And Jeff Janowitz and I were talking about podcasting, and of course, Radio Memphis had been around for a little while, and we decided that, hey, I need to go ahead and create one. And he talked me into it. So it's really all his fault. If you got a problem with that, take it up with Mr. Jeff Janowitz, which we'll have more on him later, because he's going to be taking a part into some of these things as well coming into the next year. But when you set yourself up to do these things, you're going, all right, here's this week. Okay, what am I going to do next week? And when am I going to have fine time to do this? So I've got to sit down a schedule. So what I did is I tricked myself, and I wound up forcing myself to keep the ball rolling by putting in a tease in the middle of the show. Well, it's actually at the 3/4 mark of the show, roughly. And the idea was that if that tease was there, people have heard what's coming up next week, and you're assuming that people are going to want to hear it. So therefore, you can't let it go, and you have to stick to a production schedule to keep it going. So when I first built From Radioland, I did the first episode, and then the same day, I recorded the second episode. And then we released the first, and then away it went. And my initial thought when I first built it, when I first started putting it together, was, let's do this in a comfortable format, so I'm not consistently slammed with this show. Because I was thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be up to my ass in this thing, and I'm not going to get any of this done on time, and it's going to be gaping holes, and I'm going to run listeners off. So here's what I would do. I was thinking, all right, let's do 13 episodes, and then we'll take 13 weeks off. And during that time off will be the time when I release them. I'll post-produce them all and get them all up and going. Well, that's just silly, because then I'm off for 13 weeks. And then I got to start the whole process over again, whether I'm, you know, booking topics or guests or however all this is going to come together. And here's the problem. You're off for 13 weeks and you lose listeners at that point. I do believe that can happen, because you go through this period, if you're not consistent, that listeners will not want to hang around. It's the same thing in social media. Podcasting is really nothing more than a form of social media. And when you're, you know, like, if you have a Twitter account like I do, and you're not that vocal on Twitter like I am, which I should be, and that's, I'm trying to get better with that, you're not going to have that many followers. But if you write consistently, whatever it is that you're doing, you put things up there that are of interest to other folks, then more and more people will follow what you're doing. And it's the very same thing with podcasting. And if you go for, like, I don't know, 2-3 weeks at a stretch without writing anything, then people are going to forget about you. And then all of a sudden you show back up in their feed, and it's like, well, I didn't know I'd subscribe to this guy. What a loser. And then they dump you. And if they dump you, they dump you. You know, I've learned to you know, get over that as much as I possibly can. And it has not been easy, but people are people. However, in the course of building the show, then it just made more sense to just, okay, let's just do this every week. And if I know I'm going to be, say, out of town, well, I can take the mini recorder and go sit down for a half an hour somewhere in the hotel room or under a tree somewhere or by the pool or wherever I happen to be, and do a half hour podcast. And thanks to the miracle of modern technology with computers and the internet and all that fun stuff, I can edit and I can be done, and it's boom, it's a show, and away you go. And at first I thought, okay, that's going to be a lot, but let's give it a go. And we did, and it worked. And I am so thankful, because right now we are sitting at just about 100,000 subscribers, just shy of that. By the time this particular podcast is released, we are probably going to be just shy of that 100,000. And here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to have 100,000 subscribers in 1 year. And we did that. And we'll probably surpass that fairly quickly. Hence next week. Yeah, very big stuff with this deal. So we got lucky with that. And I have to admit that I had taken full advantage of who I am. You know, the 14 years at Clear Channel in Memphis did not hurt. Becoming a name in this town was certainly very beneficial, very helpful to me. And that was something I had to take advantage of. And I did, and it worked. And it jump started. And what I didn't expect was that the West Coast of the United States, specifically San Francisco and Los Angeles, you folks over there who have religiously gotten into the show and spread it around, thank you. I'm flattered, and I need to go out there. I need to come pay you a visit. And that's something down the way, but I'll get to that a little ball in what plans we have for the following year, the second year of the show. And to make things easier, we wanted to break, you know, the year up into those 13 weeks. But, you know, there would be, you know, four seasons out of the year. And when one ended, the next one started right after that. And it was just actually sort of a way for me to kind of keep track of what's going on. I don't really keep a written record. There's no pen to paper. There's no computer notes. There's, aside from what I've written on our Blogspot page, which is rickcheddar.blogspot.com. In the process, too, of building it, we wanted to expose it to as many people as possible. So an iTunes account had to happen, and we got just a shitload of listeners right out of the gate there, because people are looking for something new to listen to, and iTunes is a perfect spot for that. But not everybody has an iPhone. And to take care of those folks that have a non-iPhone smartphone, you know, like a Samsung or whatnot that uses an Android type deal, then we wanted to put the show on various formats and directories where you can get that, and that's worked out. We've done our due diligence in that, at least I think we have. And I launched it onto like 6 or 7 different directories, and it all pointed back to, you know, the place where it's all hosted, which is at podbean.com. that's the actual expense of the program, because once you produce the show, you've got to spend some money. And somebody's got to host it. And Podbean does a tremendous job. They have a real inexpensive deal there, and they'll take good care of you. They're good folks. So there's that. Now, once all this started happening, it was a matter of getting the right content, and we had to kind of figure our way around it. Now we've kind of built a little bit of a formula, and things are going pretty well. There's no bits to it per se. It's just a thing. And sometimes you know, I would sit here and I would do a show and I'd put it back, you know, put it together and I get it out there and I would listen back to it to make sure there's no real problems with it. And I'd sit there and go, you know, I think that show will probably do pretty well, you know, because, you know, some shows do better than others. And I thought, you know, this show will probably do pretty well. And it didn't. And then there were times where I would just kind of, I don't know, felt like I phoned it in and I probably did. And I'm thinking, oh, that's not going to do so well. And it would take off like a rocket. One such show which actually met the expectations of what I'd intended it to was episode 49, which was God and Guns. And then there were several episodes that I did. I want to say it's around the 30 mark, episode 30 or so. Those three episodes they're called Exiled to Radioland. And it's the story of my time in terrestrial radio and what happened. And I had to do that to get it off my chest. And I feel so much better as a result of doing it. I don't feel like I'm carrying this load around like I was. So, yeah, there's that catharsis in doing a podcast and being, you know, being associated with a podcast. And it does work out. It really does. It's nice. You people can be considered my therapist. Yeah. I don't even have to lay down on a couch to do it and don't have to file it with my insurance. Not that I have any insurance. Don't have to pay a copay. Don't have to pay nothing, nobody. I just sit down and run my mouth and you people listen. Sometimes you laugh, sometimes you don't, and that's fine. That's okay. I'm not what you would consider a comedian per se, although I've been accused of such. And a lot of that just comes from being on the air, you know, doing live radio. You find the joke, you say the joke, you move along, and that's that. And it's improvisation at its one of its purest forms. And this show is certainly indicative of that. And if you've made it this far into this, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because sometimes it feels like I'm just rambling along. But I know those of you that are interested in how the show is produced are still tuned in. Now, the technical end of it, yeah, I've got a radio background, so things are going to be a little bit different. We have a mixer board here. I've gone through several over the course of the year, and we've settled on several different ones. I use a Behringer board here in Studio C. It's a how many channels? 12 channels on this damn thing. No, more than that. 15, 16 channel board. And that's used for production down here in the Radio Memphis studio. And then at home in Studio A, the original home of the podcast, I have a little four-channel Harbinger board. And it does just beautifully for what I need it to do. And the rest of it's just tweaking, you know. The only reason why I'm down here tonight is to set up for what's coming up next week. Now, on top of that, let's talk mics. Let's see here. You know, if you're going to do this, you know, I recommend a mixer board. It just works out better. You know, it's got the XLR plug. You can get you a decent mic. The mics that I use here are nothing really special. They are SM57s from Shure. They SM58s. They're your standard stage mic. They don't have an on and off switch at all. They just sit in a little tabletop stand. I use them for remotes. I use them for this thing. They take a little tweaking, but once you get them set up, they're not bad at all. There's a million different ways you can go with this. You can either spend a shitload of money or you can go on the cheap. And you got to go with what you feel, you know, what you think might sound right. And the rest of it is processing. When I record specifically, I'm actually not using any preamping or processing. On the original recording, all of that is done in post-production. And when I talk about editing, that's exactly what I mean. I'm not actually editing anything out of the show or into it. The only thing we're doing is taking the audio file and taking some of the extraneous noise out of it, making the room sound right, making the mic sound right, boosting some levels, run everything through a compression, a mastering, if you will. And, you know, kind of tighten it up on that end, and then you save it at a certain compression rate that's going to sound right without taking up too much space, hence the MP3. There are millions of treatises written on this very subject, and you can find them all out there on the web. I'm just kind of telling you how I do it. When we have a guest, obviously we just plug in a separate mic into the rig, and away we go. There, I try and keep the mics as matched as possible. And in this particular case, I have two of the 58s. And say if I've got Jeff down here, Jeff and I will each have a mic, and it's on a stand, so we're not doing all of this and handling the mic. We just leave it alone. It's a nice little pro tip for you kids. And if we have a third, which we have had before when Jeff brought Dean Zachary in, the great comic book artist who has drawn for DC. He lives in the area. All I did was bring in a third mic and plugged them all in, and away we went. and that's how it goes. So yeah, there you have to put some thought into it and make it right and make it work right, because you know I've always believed that the quality of the audio needs to be as good as you can make it. I know it has not been consistent, and that bugs the bejesus out of me, because consistency is really kind of the key to it's a hallmark to any show. And by virtue of some of the changes that we've had to make with the move, computers act funny. They do different things. I've gone from one operating system to another, different editing software. There's just it's just a ton of variables that come into play that you just have to be aware of if you're going to, you know, get into, you know, producing a podcast. But quality is the key. Make sure you've got nice, high quality audio. And everything will work out just fine. That's all you don't want to sound like, you know, like you're back here on the other side of the room. That's not going to work. You know, don't record into the mic that's built into your laptop. That no, you don't want to do that. No, plug in a mic. Be a pro. It works out better that way. And take your time and do things right. And if you have any questions about that kind of thing, find somebody who does this type of show. And hell, shoot me a line. I'll answer any question I possibly can with you. And the rest is just filling it with the proper content, unfortunately. I tend to lack in that sometimes. So, which brings me to next year. I wanted to answer those questions about how things are done. So there's a quick look into that. Next year, which, you know, obviously 2015 from Radioland is different because we got our start in February of 2014. What we're doing this time around, well, it's all going to be kind of contingent on how lucky we get and if I can pull off a stunt that I've yet to do. With this show, there's always a first for everything. And I tell you what, you want to find out what's going on next week and what's hopefully going to set up for what's coming next year for the rest of the year for 2015. Take a listen to this. Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland. Josh Robert Thompson. Josh was the voice of Jeff the Robot on The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson on CBS. He sits down with me. We talk about his podcast and how important that show has been to me.
People think I'm really worked up. I mean, it was more funny to me than anything else. I think that people thought about a month out of The Late Late Show that I was driving an Uber car. It's a character, and it's such a lovable dude. Hey, what's up, y'all? I ain't got no time for this bullshit. I love that guy so much. I'm just sharing the realities of this kind of work. And yeah. I find that, yeah, a lot of people respond to that, just like you are. And they say, man, okay, I'm glad I'm not alone. I think the audience is growing and branching off of that old demographic that was the Late Late Show people. I feel like that's what we're seeing.
Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
Yeah, ain't that some shit, huh? Yeah, that's coming up next time. And how did we pull that off? I don't know. Social media, I guess, would be a good way to put it. Through Twitter, through Facebook, and being sort of at the right place at the right time. that's kind of how it works. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be adding more of these interviews from people you may or may not know from all over the place, because, you know, we do have the technology to make that work. It's not somebody calling in on a telephone anymore. They don't have that, you know, you're calling in from wherever it is. It's going to take that sound out of it now. It's going to sound like they're kind of in the room, make it a little bit more pleasant, because most everybody consumes their podcast through earbuds. And when you're listening under earbuds or headphones, even, you can hear every little nuance. And when you're hearing somebody that you want to listen to, you want to consume it as much as you can. You just want to really soak up as much of that sound as you can. You savor every bit of it. I know, because I'm the same way about certain things that I like to listen to. And by giving what you want, you know, from my end, if I give you what you want, then you'll be around. And that's really the big plan there. So, yeah, big stuff coming up. I love it. My wife was hassling me about that. She goes, well, you say that a lot. You always say you got big stuff coming up, but nothing seems to change. Well, yeah, it has changed. So It's good to be a part of it, and we've got a fine, fun year as we start off the that was our year end deal. what we're going to kick off the new year with, I don't know. But one of the things we want to add to all of this is, and I've mentioned this before, we want to take the show out and do it live and in front of an audience. And hopefully at some point during 2015, hopefully in the spring, we're going to give it a shot and see how it goes. See, you know, if there's enough of a desire for a public audience for the sort of thing, then we'll make it happen. So there you go. All right. So that's what's coming up next week. You've heard how this show has been done over the past year. Thank you so much for being a part of all of this and subscribing that you have and sharing it. That's what really makes it all go around. Don't ask for much. Just share it. Tag people in it. Say, hey, Rick was talking about how to produce a podcast. I know you were wanting to do it. This is how he said he did it. So share it around. It's that simple. There you go. All right. I'm done for this episode. We'll see you next week. And until then, y'all take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. Thanks again for subscribing. iTunes is a place to do it. There's plenty of other directories out there. We're at player.fm. We're on TuneIn. If you have the app on your phone, you can get it that way as well. And, of course, where I work at radio-memphis.com. Look for the link to From Radioland. It's usually right in there. And then there's another place for it. The host site itself is podbean.com. Not much is really there different. It's just where it's hosted. And then, of course, my personal page, where I will often include very personal notes about that particular episode, can be found at rickcheddar.blogspot.com. It's that simple. Once again, thank you so very much. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.